2011, and I wonder how you felt the year has gone. For me, the time has just flown by. Many things have happened. My first baby daughter was born earlier this year, and that's taken some time to adjust, as I'm sure you can imagine. But, you know, we are obviously very much enjoying, you know, just different style of life. And in terms of our ministry at West, many things have happened. As I've said this morning, we've established a gospel partnership with a church in Korea, and that's bringing, of course, many interesting ventures for us to work for and for us to pray for. So for some of you, you know, this is the season of harvest. It's a time of joy and abundance and time of thanksgiving. And it's also a time of offering and, you know, sharing, you know, with each other. So there's a famous saying, isn't there? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And, you know, as I sort of reflected on the 2011 in general, I thought about this principle. You reap what you sow. In other words, you get out what you put in. So, of course, there is truth in this statement, isn't there? There is surely no substitute for hard work and diligence. If you are diligent and hardworking, then you are more likely to be rewarded than the ones perhaps who are not so diligent. So this principle, you reap what you sow, also depends really on the assumption that those that are more gifted, those that have more resources, will reap more harvest than the ones that are perhaps not so gifted and that perhaps lack resources. And this also implies that a lot more can be done, you know, if you have large financial resources and talented manpower, which is true, I have to admit, in many cases in our lives, isn't it? But today, on the basis of what we read from the scripture, I want to challenge this common principle and common understanding of you reap what you sow on the basis of what we have just read. I'm not saying that I disagree, you know, with the values of hard work and diligence, but I want to draw your attention to some of the extraordinary incidents in the Bible which defies this you reap what you sow principle. Now, in Exodus, when God approaches Moses and he asks Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, Moses was instantly overcome with fear. And why was he afraid? Because he felt that he didn't have the necessary resources to accomplish the task. You know, I want you to perhaps at this point imagine yourselves and place yourselves in Moses' shoes for one moment. And imagine what it would have been like and what Moses would have felt when God suddenly appeared to him and gives him the task of delivering not just individuals or group of people, but the whole nation of Israel from Egypt, you know, which was at the time the reigning superpower nation. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was the most powerful man Israel ever knew. So this is certainly no ordinary task. On the basis of this principle, you reap what you sow, Moses had no chance. This mission was impossible. So Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had strong armies, he had weapons, he had resources, he had armies that were highly trained and were willing to die for Pharaoh. He had plenty of resources. He was the most powerful man as far as Israel was concerned. There was simply no contest with this man and with the nation of Egypt. And to carry out this task which God gives Moses, Moses probably thought maybe initially he would need a whole lot of armies and train them to match Pharaoh's. He would need resources such as weapons, finance, chariots, and strategies, and so all sorts of things. And Moses, of course, had none of this at his disposal. And he expresses his fear rather clearly in the passage that we have read today. So all the logic in his head must have told him that this is simply impossible. This is mission impossible and perhaps suicidal. And Moses instantly expresses fear that he can't do this. Who am I to face Pharaoh? And what God says in response to Moses when he expresses fear, when Moses said, I can't do this, who am I to face up to Pharaoh? And what does God say in response to that? What does God say? And I think what God says in response to Moses' fear, expression of fear, is, I think it almost makes us chuckle, really, because God asked Moses at that very moment, and he points to his hand and he says, what is that in your hand that you're holding? And Moses answers, a staff, he replied. Can you believe it? A staff, a rod. And he's expected to fight against the most powerful man in the world with a staff, you know, which was used for herding flocks of sheep and goats, perhaps. So rather than God giving Moses some sort of weapon or a sword or something, God uses Moses' staff to do wonders and miracles in his redemptive plan. So Moses' rod, which seems so small, so pointless, so meaningless, so insignificant, but when dedicated to God, became a mighty tool. Now this helps us to see that God can use what little we have, but when surrendered to him, we can do great things for his glory. Now Moses feels unqualified for his ministry. Moses feels fear for this task. And this shows that God is not, you know, necessarily looking for people, you know, who are highly trained, and he's not necessarily looking for people who have great talents, but for those who are dedicated to following and obeying God's will. If you use what little you have to serve the Lord with all your heart, you will find that God can do great things through what little you have. And friends, little is much when God is in it. Even though Moses' staff seemed so insignificant and so pointless and so powerless against the armies of Pharaoh, but when that was surrendered to God's will in perfect obedience, God used that staff to do mighty wonders in delivering Israel from Egypt. So God used something that was so ordinary. God used something that was so insignificant, so small, such as Moses' staff, to do mighty wonders. So friends, our lack of resources and perhaps our fear because we feel unqualified is not an excuse for shying away from doing God's will. Because God uses what little we have to do extraordinary. In other words, if you do the ordinary, God will do the extraordinary for you. If you do the natural, God will do the supernatural for you. And that's what exactly God does. When Moses says, who am I that I should stand against Pharaoh? God doesn't say, well, Moses, this is who you are, therefore, this is what you need to do. He doesn't say that. He simply responds that I will be with you. That's God's answer. Isn't that amazing? Rather than when Moses asks for his own identity to be confirmed by God, he doesn't confirm his identity, but he simply tells Moses who God is and that he will be with him. For example, David, when he faces the giant Goliath, he only has 5 stones and a slingshot. But when that small resource that David had was dedicated to God, and when David took the step of faith, that ordinary tool, that insignificant tool, became a mighty weapon for God's glory. And sometimes we may feel that we don't have enough manpower or resources or talents or qualifications to do what we have to do, to do what God has called us to do. And we often feel fearful of that, don't we? And we sometimes feel powerless before the task that God has given us. So in those circumstances, it's very easy to just give in and perhaps shy away and give 10 different reasons as to why you can't do it and why it's not going to work. But what matters to God, however, is not how much resource and how talented we have, how much talent that we have, or how many people we have at our disposal to support us, but our heart. Our hearts dedicated to God. Do we have God's anointing upon our hearts? Do we seek God's guidance? Are we willing to obey God and take that extra step of faith like Moses did? And that's what matters. And even though Christians these days are minorities, aren't they? Aren't we? You know, we're not large in numbers these days. Wherever you go in the world, that's true. And even though that we may be small in numbers and perhaps even be seen as insignificant and small in the eyes of the world, but if our heart is fixed on God, we can achieve great things for God. So we mustn't complain about our lack of resources, because what God gives us is exactly what we need. And sometimes God uses the least of us to shame the wise and the proud. And this is exactly what God does through the staff of Moses. When it is dedicated to God, it is more powerful than any weapon formed by men. And it performs wonders in delivering Israel from Egypt. The question is not what kind of resources and how much manpower or talent that we have, but do we have God's anointing? And let us not look to ourselves and our resources, but let us fix our eyes upon God. So Moses, when he's given this task, he didn't have any resources, he didn't have any armies or weapons. And also, when Moses was given this task, he also feels somewhat unqualified, you know, for this great task. And he says, and I always find, you know, Moses' response here quite interesting. And he says this: "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." I always find, you know, Moses' excuse here quite interesting for a number of reasons. And he says that he's not articulate and he's slow of speech. He doesn't have any armies, he doesn't have any resources, and yet he's also not articulate and he's slow of speech. But friends, we mustn't confuse good workers of God, faithful workers of God, with good speakers. Sometimes, you know, being a good speaker can seem like, you know, he or she is doing mighty works of God. And of course, it's important to learn to learn to communicate clearly and effectively. But being articulate doesn't necessarily qualify good workers of God. And this is exactly what Moses is saying. He's not articulate. He's slow of speech. But God nevertheless uses him. And here, Moses' weakness is the fact that, you know, he's not articulate or eloquent, and he's slow of speech. But through obedience, God uses him mightily. And here we need to note that Moses is not trying to, you know, disobey God's calling, but simply he highlights his own weakness. Now this means that obedience, obeying God's will, obeying God's calling, is mightier in carrying out God's righteousness than being articulate and eloquent. But does it mean that Moses was completely incompetent and unprepared? You know, in other words, does God use untrained and unprepared people for his ministry? Not at all. Of course, Moses is aware of his weaknesses, and he knows that it's no ordinary task, and he will need God's help to accomplish what he has been entrusted. But does that mean that Moses was completely incompetent and unprepared? Not at all. Now, we need to remember that Moses spent 40 years in the desert as a foreigner before he was appointed the great task of deliverance. In other words, there was a period of waiting and perseverance in which Moses could learn humility so that he could be equipped for the great task. So God allowed this time for Moses in the desert for 40 years so that he would be prepared for his mission. So even though that Moses feels unqualified, even though Moses feels afraid, in the eyes of God, he was ready, because God trained him in those long years in the desert so that he can rise, so that his character might be formed, so that he may rise to the ultimate challenge. And we don't know exactly what Moses did during those years, but considering that, you know, he enjoyed the status of a royalty when he was in Egypt, we can imagine that his life in the desert must have been pretty humbling. So God must have taught him humility and perseverance in those 40 years of his desert life. So Moses, when he was in the desert, he names one of his children Gershom. And what does that mean? It means I became an alien in a foreign land. So life, Moses' life before God appeared to him, it must have been pretty mundane and monotonous. But through this period of perseverance and waiting, God prepared and equipped Moses. Now, friends, I think there's a principle to be learned from here, that sometimes God opens the doors to great opportunities through small things, through mundane things. And sometimes our works with church or our works in our workplace or so forth, or in our Christian life in general, may feel insignificant and small. But through small things, great opportunities come and God is glorified. And who would have thought that Moses, when he was living in the desert for 40 odd years, who would have thought that God would appear to him at some point and give him this mighty task? The life for him must have been pretty mundane and insignificant. But through that small commitment, through his mundane life, that great opportunities came by, and Moses is appointed this great task of deliverance. So living as Christians in general is not always dynamic and exciting, is it? And more often than not, it does require a high level of perseverance and patience. And sometimes our commitments and our works with the church may seem small and mundane sometimes. And it does require commitment and dedication. Even when we perhaps feel that we just want to move on. But through the time of perseverance, God trains his people for the great task. Just like God used the 40 years of Moses in the desert to prepare him for the great task of delivering Israel from Egypt. Let us remember that God uses what little we have to do great things. Just like God used Moses' staff to perform wondrous miracles, our lack of resources is not an excuse for shying away from God's calling. But when dedicated to God, when surrendered to God through perfect obedience, God uses what small we have to do his mighty works for his glory. And, God will multiply what you have, even though that Moses had nothing really, apart from his brother. But when he stepped up, to a Pharaoh, when he took that step of faith, God multiplied what he had, and God instructed him what to say in every step of the way. God was with him. Our lack of resources, our lack of manpower is never an excuse, because God, once we obey him and take the calling, he will multiply your resources for his name's sake. And secondly, let us not focus on our weakness, but rather on God himself. When God asked Moses, as I said, Moses responds to God, "Who am I?" Moses here is focusing upon his own weakness. Moses is concentrating on himself. But let us not focus on our weakness, but rather on God himself. And God precisely responds to his excuse by saying, "I will be with you." So it's not about Moses or what Moses can do and what he was trained to do. In the same way, it's not what we know what to do and how trained we are, how prepared we are, what we can do through our human efforts. But through being with God, through being open to God's instruction in our lives, that God performs wondrous miracles through our Christian lives. And thirdly, just like Moses' desert years was necessary for him to take on God's ultimate calling, we need to be faithful to our commitments here and now. And of course, they may seem small and insignificant. But through these small commitments, through these small works, that God will prepare you and in His time open doors to the future of fulfillment of promises and great blessings. So today, I want to conclude by saying that not only do we reap what you sow, but God promises much more. That God wants to give us much more. And God wants to use us and bless us beyond our natural abilities. As long as our hearts are focused on Him, and as long as our hearts are in perfect obedience to His calling, that God can use what little we have, what little resource we have, to do His wondrous works. So friends, if you feel perhaps that your works as a Christian is seemingly insignificant and small, I want to encourage you today that God is being glorified through your commitments, through your Christian lives, that God is delighted at your dedication and commitments for His kingdom and for His name's sake. So help. I want to encourage you that you know, God promises much more, and God wants to use us and bless us beyond our abilities. I want to encourage our hearts to be fixed upon Jesus and obedient to His calling. Amen.